So today's scripture is 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 11, and it's found on page 264 in your pew Bible. The Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lay down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle."
Well, thank you, Yvette. Well, it's not hard to tell something's going on today as I look out there. Yeah, at least there's more than when I sat down. Yeah. When I sat down, I think I greeted everyone in the church, and it was all six of you. It is Memorial Day. People are away. I knew I was in trouble when the whole staff told me they couldn't be here. So you notice there's no staff here except me. Well, Simon's here. But there's no pastoral staff here except me because they're all away. You know, Howie's preaching over in Framingham, and we have Mike and Kevin that are opening up camps. Now, Kevin doesn't own a camp, but he's opening up a camp of a friend. And Mike is opening up Kathy's camp. So it is a weekend to travel, but I'm glad you're here. And today we are going to start a new sermon series. And I hope those who aren't here get a chance to watch this on video because it's the kickoff of a new series. Now, we just finished the series on stewardship, and we're starting one on holiness. Holiness is an interesting topic, and I think that for us who call ourselves Nazarenes, holiness should be, I'm not saying it should be an important topic. One of the reasons for that is, I don't know if you realize this, but in the church world, when you're talking with people, leaders in other churches, and they talk about the Church of the Nazarene, one of the few things that makes us distinctive from every other church is we are called a holiness denomination. There are very few. Now, I'm guessing that if I would ask 20 of you, what does that mean? That I'll probably get 15 different answers. Okay, you probably don't know what that means, that we are a holiness denomination. You don't know why we're probably called that. Maybe a few of you do. Hopefully at the end of this sermon series, you'll be able to give me the answer to that. It's going to be 4 weeks, but actually it's 5 weeks long because Fred Schaefer is coming. And he'll be here next week. And then we have 3 weeks after that of teachings or sermons on holiness. Now, another thing about this series is we are going to keep our promise to you. If you remember, we made a promise at the end of the church year that after every sermon series, we are going to offer a class to discuss the sermon series. Now, at the end of this series, we're going to teach a four-week class on holiness. We're going to shut down Howie's class, not going to allow him to teach for 4 weeks. We want everyone in Howie's class to go to this, and hopefully many of you. And Steve Kostecki has been asked to teach that class. Now, the truth is, many of you probably don't know Steve is a seminary graduate. You probably don't know that about Steve. And as we thought on our staff about who could teach this, he was one of the few people in the congregation, maybe the only person in the congregation that we thought could do an adequate job teaching a class on holiness. And it's important because in the Sunday school class, it's going to be 9 o'clock Sunday, so you can call it a Sunday school class. You can dialogue, you can ask questions. You know, when I'm up here on Sunday morning, it's a monologue, right? I just talk to you. You don't get to ask questions. You don't get to raise your hand and say, please explain that. Can you go over that again? You know, we may change that format that you can actually ask the pastor because, you know, newer people coming to church, you know, 20-year-olds would like to do that sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's not a format we use. It's not our tradition. But I don't think that's a bad format if I say something that you don't understand. Because if you don't understand it, maybe 20 other people don't understand it. Say, hey, Pastor, could you explain that? And it may make sermons a little longer, or we may have to leave out some things that we wrote. But that's okay. Because sermons are meant to be absorbed. If you can't absorb what we're saying, then I don't care how wise the sermon was, what good is it? Simon, did you have a question? You raised your hand. Oh, is that just raising your hand to just be Simon?
I was praising Jesus.
Yeah, okay. In other words, you were being Simon. Okay. All right. And I'll tell you this. Now, on the last sermon series, and I know I'm doing some advertising here, we did stewardship, and we started our Financial Peace University last Thursday. And next week, we are offering a gifts assessment based on Mike's sermon on gifts. So next week, if you come here at 9 o'clock, we're going to give you a gifts assessment. You're going to take the assessment. We are going to add up the numbers, and we're going to tell you the next week what your top three spiritual gifts are. So next week, 9 o'clock in the morning, if you want to be assessed, if you want to know what your spiritual gifts are, come here at 9 o'clock. We're going to give you the assessment. We're going to do a short version of it instead of a long version and probably take you 15 minutes, and then we will add up the numbers and let you know right away what your gifts are. But Financial Peace University started last week. And I was a little disappointed. Natasha Neuroth is teaching it with the Mokas. And Natasha tells me there's three people that have signed up for the class. Now, last week, the material was not in. It didn't come in until Friday. The class was on Thursday. So if you want to do Financial Peace University, you really haven't missed a whole lot because the material just came in after that class. You can be here next Thursday at 7. But I was disappointed, only three people. And I told you last week, who needs to go to Financial Peace University if you're sitting there thinking, well, do I need to go? I'm not in too bad shape. And I made a very simple statement. If you have debt on your credit card, you should go. If you're not paying your credit card off every month 100%, you need to go to this, period, which is probably about 95% of the congregation, okay? People who have gone through it can tell you how good it was for them, the philosophy it teaches, the tools it teaches. It's a very good a program they put you through. Philosophically, it will give you a really good approach to money. Several people in this church have been through it. You know, seek someone out who's been through it and ask them, was it worth it? It's 8 weeks. It's $100 to go through it. The church will pay your tab if you can't afford to go. Don't go because you don't have money. All right. But you can go next Thursday at 7 o'clock, be right here, and join the group. Okay? We're offering these classes after every sermon series because we feel we need to go deeper in the topics we're preaching on. It was something we came up with after last year. And so take advantage of these things. You know, we're doing this not to waste our time. I didn't ask Steve to waste his time doing this. You know, Steve's going to be a good teacher. You know, I wanted to do this for you so you can learn more about holiness. Okay, all the advertising is done. Let's get into this. Let's get into the sermon. And I want to begin, of course, with a story. Of course, right? And I want you to use your imaginations because this story takes us back to a time. Think of a time when the telegraph was the fastest mode of long-distance communication. So that's where back in those days. The telegraph was the fastest way to communicate, let's say, from here to Washington, D.C. You did it by telegraph. And in this story, it's talked about a young man who applied for a job as a Morse code operator. He'd read about an ad in a newspaper, and he went to the address that it said in the newspaper to apply for this job. And when he walked into the office, he reported that it was a very, very noisy office. He said it was filled with noise and clatter and the telegraph ticking away, and he said it was pretty chaotic. And then when he walked in, there was a sign on the receptionist's desk that said, if you're here applying for the job, please fill out the form and go sit down and wait to be called into the inner office. So this young man filled out the form and sat down to wait. And he was a little disappointed because when he sat down, there were seven other people who were already seated there looking for the same job that he was looking for. And that young man sat there and waited for a couple of minutes. After a couple of minutes, he got up and walked across the room right in front of those other seven applicants, walked into the back door, this inner office, and shut it. And the other applicants were a little perplexed. They weren't very happy. They said, "What is this guy doing? You know, no one got called into the office. What is he doing going in there?" And they thought to himself, "Well, he made a serious mistake because I'm sure he's going to get thrown out in a couple of minutes. He's going to be disqualified from the job." Well, that wasn't what happened, because in a couple of minutes, the manager walked out. And the manager walked out with this young man, and he said to the other seven applicants, "Look, gentlemen, thank you for coming and applying for the job, but this young man has been hired to take the job." Now, you can imagine what those other seven thought. And they mumbled and grumbled to themselves. And then one of them said to the manager, "What's going on? He was the last one who walked in. We've been sitting here waiting. He walks in, you give him the job. That's not fair. What is wrong with you?" And the manager says, "Gentlemen, the whole time you've been sitting here waiting," he said, "the telegraph has been ticking away a message of Morse code. And the message said this, quote, 'If you understand this message, then come in. The job is yours.'" He said, "None of you heard it, or none of you understood it." He said, "I've given the job to this young man." Why do I tell you that story? Well, I tell you the story because we live in a world that is filled with noise, busyness, and clatter, just like that office. And because of that, many people, many Christians are distracted, and they are unable to hear what the Bible says is the still small voice of God. So what about you? Do you think that you are tuned in to God's voice? Do you think you hear God when he speaks to you? Are you listening? Of course, if God speaks to you and you don't hear him, you're going to be like those seven applicants. They didn't know they were being spoken to. So you're going to sit here and tell me no. I always hear God when he speaks to me. And really? I say, maybe God's speaking to you 100 days in a row. You haven't heard him once. Today, I want to talk to you about how to hear God. And I want you to see exactly how God speaks to us so that you can hear him when he speaks to you. Don't answer this question out loud. Don't raise your hands. Don't say yes. Simple question. How many of you have ever heard God speak to you? Don't answer it out loud, because you don't want to answer out loud based on what I'm going to read next. I'm going to read John 8:47 that says this: "He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Ouch. I hope by the end of this message, if you're one of God's children, which means if you sit here as a Christian, you'll be more aware of the times that God is speaking to you. And if you're not one of God's children as you sit here, a Christian, then you'll be more aware of how you can become one and then begin to hear his voice. 1 Peter 3:12 says this: "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So the first thing I'm going to tell you, we're going to go over several ways God speaks to us. Several ways. But the first one is so simple and so obvious, but it needs to be said. The first thing you need to do to hear God is to tune into God. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you all get it when I say this. That if you want to listen to WBZ radio, you have to turn on to 1030 on your dial, right? You get that. You have to tune in to that station. If you don't tune in to 10:30, you are not going to hear WBZ. Friends, if you do not tune into God, you will not hear God. You're going to be sitting in a waiting room with six other people, waiting to hear from God, and the whole time he's talking to you. And you're just not hearing. Not on purpose, but because you're not tuned into him. Yvette read a story for us from 1 Samuel. We have a little boy in that story, his name is Samuel, who was not tuned into God. God was talking to him over and over again. And in this case, which is very unusual, highly unusual, it was audible. We'll talk about that later in the sermon. God doesn't talk to us audibly, usually. God can do whatever he can talk to you any way he wants. This is not how God usually talks to people, okay? But he was audibly talking to Samuel, and Samuel had no idea it was God. He thought it was the guy in the next room. Why wouldn't he? He thought it was Eli, right? I'm going to read this story again. Listen to this story, and listen about Samuel, who God was talking to, and he had no idea. I think he represents a lot of us today. This is what the story says. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. The Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and he lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. The Lord called to Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came, stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Interesting stories. Little Sammy is a young boy. Now, we know what time of morning it is because it says that the lamp of God, the candles, had not yet gone out. So we know, historically, this would have been around 2:30 in the morning when this was happening. And for some reason, Samuel couldn't sleep. Maybe his mind was racing about all the things that Eli had tried to teach him that day. You see, Samuel, we know, was either 8 or 9 years old. Again, we know this because of the context of the story. He was either 8 or 9 years old, and Samuel's mother would have left him at the temple and would have dedicated him to the Lord as a baby. And so as a boy, Samuel was learning from Eli how to be a priest. That's what's going on here. So here he is lying there trying to get some rest, and Samuel hears someone call his name. And what else is he going to do? He's going to do what you or I do. Well, there's no one there, so he runs to Eli and says, "Hey, what do you want? Here I am." Eli's trying to get to sleep and says, "It wasn't me. Go back to bed." Same thing happens again. Eli tells him the same thing again. "Listen, it's not me. Go back to bed." And the third time this thing happens, Eli gets it. The priest. He catches on. He says, "God must be calling Samuel." So Eli gives Samuel some instructions on hearing about God and goes back to bed. And Samuel then hears the voice of God and listens to what God has to say. You see, in the beginning of the story, Samuel had no idea what was going on. God was talking to him, but he couldn't hear him. Or he heard him, but couldn't recognize that it was God. He thought it was Eli or some other voice. Now, why couldn't Samuel hear God? This is not complicated. He was not tuned into God. It says in Scripture that the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Samuel could not recognize that it was God because he was not tuned in to God. If he was tuned in to God, I can tell you with 100% certainty that he would have recognized it as God instantly, and he would have followed what God told him to do. So the question is, what about you? Do you think you're turned into God, tuned into God, or you're not sure? I'm guessing a lot of you came in and would say, yeah, I'm tuned into God. Maybe at this point you're saying, well, I don't know. I'm tuned into God. Do you know when God's speaking to you? Or you're not sure? Let me tell you something, okay? That I'm going to guess that God speaks to you almost every day of the week. Every day. This is not something that happens once every 5 years. You get an epiphany and say, God spoke to me. God speaks to you every day of the week. Can you say, yeah, I know that. I hear him every day of the week. If you say, really? I don't hear him every day of the week. Well, then you need to continue to listen to the sermon. Okay? Because he does. Most of us don't hear him every day, and there's reasons for that that we'll get into. I want to tell you a story. It's about a Native American who was hanging out in Manhattan in Times Square with a friend. Now, they were hanging out in Times Square at noontime. I don't know if you've ever been in Times Square at noontime, but let me tell you, if you have, there are tens of thousands of people. What you can hear is horns honking, sirens going off, taxi cabs squealing, people talking. It is loud. It is busy. Times Square at noontime, that's it. There's Times Square at noontime. That's what it looks like every day. And this Native American was walking with his friend in Times Square with all this noise going on. And suddenly he says to his friend, he says, hey, listen, do you hear that? I hear a cricket. Yeah, that's what his friend thought. His friend said, you are nuts. There's no way in the world you can hear a cricket in this noise. You can't possibly hear it. And he says, hold on, be quiet. And he says, no, I'm sure of it. I'm 100% sure I hear a cricket. His friend tells him he's crazy. Well, this Native American says to his friend, follow me. He walks across the street to where there's a cement planter where some shrubs were growing. He picks up and moves the shrubs and the bushes to the side. He says, there it is. There's the cricket. Well, his friend is stunned. He's amazed. He says, you have superhuman hearing. And his Native American friend says, no, I don't. He says, my hearing is no better than your hearing. And his friend says, no, that is impossible. There's no way I could ever hear this cricket. And he says, no, no, you could. It all depends what you are listening for. His friend says, impossible. That can't be. His friend says again, let me show you what I mean. It all depends what you are listening for. So with all the noise going on, all the people talking and the horns honking and the taxi cabs screeching, sirens going off, Native American reaches into a pocket, pulls out a handful of change, lifts out his hand, drops it on the sidewalk. He says, watch. And sure enough, every head for 20 feet turned around to look at what was going on. He said, see, it depends what you are listening for. He said, my cricket was louder than those coins. Everyone heard the coins drop. No one heard the cricket. That is a wonderful lesson. Because I can tell you this, if you are tuned into God, it doesn't matter what is going on around you. It doesn't matter what distractions there are, what noise there is. If you are tuned into God, you can hear him. You can hear him clear as day. Don't let the enemy of your soul kind of make you think this is hard to hear from God. It is not hard to hear from God. It is easy to hear from God if you are tuned in to God. Very much like that Native American was tuned into nature. When he heard nature, he could just hear it plain as day. That's what he was tuned into. Americans were tuned into when they heard the coins drop. Everyone turned and looked. What's going on? That's what they were tuned into. Okay, so I'm guessing as you sit here, every one of you want to tune into God. I haven't told you how yet. Right? Every one of you wants to. So the question is, what station is God on? You know, if he's on 10:30, what station can I listen to God on? Well, there are a number of ways that God speaks to us today. A number of ways. There's not one way, there are several. If you look through Scripture, you'll see several ways that God talked to people. In the Old Testament, for example, we see a variety of stories how God spoke to certain people. I mean, think of Adam in the garden. We see Adam in the garden, and him and God were just chit-chatting, shooting the breeze. Then we see God speaking to Noah about building an ark. We see God speaking to Abraham, telling him that he could own all the land wherever he set his foot. Then God speaks to Moses. You all know how he did that, through a burning bush. Then in the New Testament, God also speaks to people. We see God speaking to Mary through an angel, telling Mary that she is going to have his son. Or when Paul saw the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus, and he spoke to him. Now, many of you sit here and think, wow, that's the way I want God to speak to me. If I would love it if God would just speak to me like that so clearly in an audible voice that I knew it was God, hands down, no questions asked. And this is what I'm going to tell you. Be very careful what you ask for. I don't think any of you want God to speak to you like that, really. I think if God spoke to you like that, you would be so frightened. I'm going to relay a story to you that several of you have heard, but it's a very personal story that happened to me, and it relates to this exact topic. Some of you have heard the Rob from Reuben story. If you've heard it, raise your hands. I don't know how many know that story. All right, so 25% of you know that story. Let me tell you the story. It's 2009, 6:30, 6:45 in the morning. I'm at Peabody, the Peabody church, when we had a church over there, sitting at my desk. I'm getting ready for Sunday service. And it, as is my habit, still my habit, get to church early, pray, read the news, do devotions, preach my sermon, whatever. But I like to be here several hours before church. So I'm sitting there by myself. In comes a complete stranger I never met before. And he sits down at the chair in front of my desk. Again, it's 6:30 in the morning, and he just walks in. He says, "Hey, Gene, God has sent me here to talk to you. Now, I don't know what your personality type is exactly, but I can tell you the first thought that ran through my mind. I'm going to be 100% honest, transparent with the story. I thought, oh, I got a nutcase here. And I want to be nice and kind and polite. I'm a pastor. I need to love him, even though I think instantly he's a nutcase. And I got stuff to do. And I said, "What's your name?" He says, "Robert." I said, "Well, Robert, okay, Robert. Probably very cynically, what did God send you here to tell me?" And then Robert started to speak. And he started to say things that he shouldn't have known. And he started telling me a little about his life, that he was a printer. Wow, that was strange. He was a printer that in Israel, and he had moved to the United States like 15 years ago, and he started telling me about some of the things I said in my sermons. Now, by the way, we weren't posting my sermons online. We didn't have audio. We didn't have this video thing back then. I'm thinking, how do you know what I said in sermons? He said, "Well, I know." He started telling me things about my family, my church, that as I sat there, let me tell you what happened. Because he was there for like an hour and 15 minutes. The first 15 minutes I sat there, the more he talked, the more afraid I became, the more intimidated I was. By the way, if you want to know what this guy looked like, slender, soft-spoken, not a threatening ounce in this guy. You know, I wasn't physically afraid of Rob from Reuben. I probably could have taken him out in 5 seconds, but I became frightened. And as he talked, I became more frightened. And he asked me, do you have any questions for me? I asked him a couple questions. I tried to think in that moment, what's the hardest Bible question I can ask? Okay? And I had two questions that I could come up with. I probably now have 500. In that moment, I had almost nothing. And he answered the question so first grade-like. Like he was talking to a first grader, but it was so profound. It was like, that's easy. It wasn't even, his answer was so uncomplicated to questions that theologians have debated for 1,000 years. And he just gives me an answer like, I said, this is crazy. He continues to talk. And I ask him about a half hour in. I said, Robert, and now I'm petrified. I just want him to leave. I said, who are you? And he looks at me, I can't tell you what his face looks like. It was just so kind. He looks at me right in the eye. He says, Gene, you know who I am. I said, no, I don't. Who are you? He says, you know exactly who I am. And when I asked the question, I thought I was talking to an angel. That's what I thought before I asked the question. And here he is telling me that I know who he is. And I'm even more afraid. Like, just please leave my office. We sat there for 1 hour and 15 minutes and talked to me. The story doesn't end there. He left. I was relieved when he left. Because I was scared. I've never been scared of talking to a human being in my entire life. I was frightened. I want to crawl under my desk and just say, leave. I can't talk to you anymore. Well, I asked him. He said, you'll never see me again when he left. I said, okay, I'm thinking good. But he gave me, I said to him, well, what if I want to talk to you? Can I have your phone number? Now, there was a reason I wanted his phone number. He says, yeah. So he gave me his phone number. And I said, okay, he's from Woburn. I know he works at the Woburn Post Office. I know his name is Robert. I know his phone number. I got enough information on him to do a very extensive background check. Now, I'm really good at doing background checks on people. I have some services I use. So if you ever need a background check on who your daughter is dating or anything, I can give you a very extensive background check. So I went into work the next morning. And the first thing I did, I walk in, dial that number. I don't even know what I was doing. And a lady answers, Robert there? No, he's gone to work. Is this his wife? Yeah, who's this? I said, can I ask you a question? She says, yeah. I says, do your husband always go and talk to pastors on Sunday morning? And she says, very politely, well, yeah, when he's instructed to. I said, all right, what does that mean? And she said, is there any message you want me to give him? I said, no. In fact, don't even tell him I called. And her response was, they all say that. That's what her response was. Friends, I tell you this because I believe, listen, it sounds crazy. I get what it sounds like. I believe he was an angel. He was an angelic being. The way he spoke to me, it couldn't have been anything else. His wisdom, his understanding, what he said about the Bible, what he told me about me. I mean, the most profound thing he said to me is, he says, you always say in your sermons, I try not to say it anymore. He says, you tell your people all the time, you think. You always tell your congregation, Gene, you think this, you think that, you think that. He said, stop saying that. I said, what are you talking about? He says, you don't think. He looked right at me. He said, you know. I said, what do you mean I know? He says, Gene, you know. I said, I say I think because I don't know that I know. He says, I'm telling you, you know. Stop saying you think. I said, okay, that's weird. But my point here is that if God were to come and speak to you, like Rob from Woburn spoke to me, I can't say that it was a wonderful conversation. I was petrified of this guy. Literally petrified. I told my church that morning when they came to church what had happened because I wasn't really quite together. You know, like, what am I going to say to these people now? I got to go through my sermon and say, do I say I think anywhere in there? I got to now edit my sermon. And I didn't know quite what to say because I believe I met one and only time in my life an angel from heaven came to visit me and talk to me. And it was frightening. So be careful what you wish for. Like you want God to come and talk to you. Think about this. Teens, we got any teens here? Is Colby here? Colby, think about this. You're driving with your parents. You're going on a road trip. They pull into a rest stop because they have to use the restroom. And you're on the back seat and you're doing whatever kids do. I don't know, Game Boy, iPad. I don't know, whatever you do, your phone. You're playing some game on your phone or something. And you look out the window and 15 feet away from you, there's a tree that's on fire. There's no smoke. The leaves aren't being burnt. It's just on fire. And you look up and think, that's kind of weird. And you keep on playing the game. And all of a sudden the tree says, hey, Colby, get over here. I got to talk to you and take your sneakers off on the way over here. My guess is you would have rolled up the window and locked the door and told your parents, let's get out of here. You wouldn't have wanted to run over and go, okay, tree, what do you want? No, that's the last thing you would have done because that is scary, all right? Now, while God doesn't necessarily reveal himself to us in audible ways today, he reveals himself to us in a lot of different ways. Here's where I want you to pay attention, okay? Here's the part of the sermon I'm going to get into. How does God speak to us? Because I'm going to propose it's all the time, if we are listening. Ephesians 4, 1 through 11 says this, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the whole body of Christ. Now, this is going to sound self-serving, but I really don't care because it's true. Because one of the ways God speaks to you is in a service like this. A service like this where you can hear from God. He speaks to you through your pastors, through your Sunday school teachers, through people who minister to you. Those people didn't choose to have that job. God anointed them. And in our case, the Church of the Nazarene said, we bless them and we recognize their gifts and their talents, basically saying, listen to them. When it comes to God's word, they know what they're talking about. And I know that sounds self-serving, but one of the ways God speaks to you is right here on Sunday morning. Now, there are a lot of other ways. A lot of other ways. But this is one of the ways. And don't discount that. That when you come here, you're going to hear some guy stand up or some gal stand up here and tell you a bunch of words. This is one of the places God's going to speak to you. So pay attention. If you're not tuned into God, it'll just be another set of words, some speech. Be tuned into God. Another way God speaks to you, real simple, this one is not complicated, is through his word. Psalm 119:05 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You first learn how to hear from God by following his word. The first place you hear how to hear from God is by following, not hearing, not reading, not listening to, but following his word. This may not be the most important statement I make today, but it may be. Listen to this statement. If you cannot follow God's written word, then chances are you will never follow his audible word. And audible, I don't mean God speaking to you. We're going to talk about that. I mean in the inward voice, inward conscious, Holy Spirit, etc. If you can't follow his written word, I can guarantee you, you can't hear from God. It'd be like Samuel. So if you can't follow his written word, forget it. Everything else I'm going to say next doesn't apply to you because you can't hear from God. If you can't follow what the known written word is right in front of you and black and white, it's not mysterious because how you hear from God is a lot of it has to do with your inner being, your conscience, the Holy Spirit. And some of that you could argue, you don't know, is this God? Is this myself or whatever? We'll talk about that. But you need to follow the written word, to hear the audible word. God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, this is known in theological terms as inner witness, or inward intuition. The Holy Spirit will verify with you that you're doing the right thing or making the right decisions. Now, if you're going the wrong direction or you're making the wrong decision, I can assure you that you're going to get some kind of message from God. Maybe it's a feeling in your stomach. You don't feel well about this. You're uncomfortable about it. I can't define exactly what it's going to be, but the Holy Spirit is going to let you know that something is up. It's the wrong choice. It's the wrong decision. If you are tuned in. God speaks to you through the inward voice or the conscience. Romans 9:1 says this, I tell you the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing witness, me witness to in the Holy Spirit. The scripture talks about God's voice being the still small voice of God. Not real strong, not overwhelming. God doesn't say, don't do that. That's not how God doesn't use a megaphone. Not usually. It is your own spirit speaking to you, mostly in just a word or a phrase. Maybe you're planning to do something. Maybe you've made a decision, you're going to go somewhere, and something inside you says, wait, wait, or not yet, or stop. Friends, you can't hear that unless you are tuned in to God. God gives us these instructions all the time. Regularly. Every day. But we need to be tuned in to listen. Pastor Bill Williams tells of a story about someone in his church he calls Uncle Sammy and how he listened to the still small voice. Now, it's a real story, and he talks about Uncle Sammy was getting ready to leave his house one day, and he drove a Chevy Blazer. And if you don't know what a Blazer is, it's a big vehicle, and it was an older one. So what he would do every time before he'd get out of the was going to leave the driveway, he would walk around the vehicle. He had a lot of kids around. And by the way, this is in the day of no backup camera. And so he wanted to make sure there were no kids behind the car playing, no kids under the car playing. So he did his usual kid check around the car, got into his Blazer, put it in reverse, took his foot off the brake, and he said he heard a voice say, stop. He put it in park. He said, what is this about? So he stops for a few seconds, looks out his mirror and thinks, what is that? He puts it in reverse again. He says the same voice. He said, it was a little louder this time. He said, stop. So he stops, and he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know why he shouldn't go. Puts it in park again. And he says, this time, when he looks out his left rearview mirror, he says he sees his son, Andrew, just kind of poking his head out behind the bumper. Now, he reports that if he hadn't listened to that still, small voice, he's 100% certain he would have ran his son over. Thank God for his Holy Spirit. God also speaks through the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:19 says this, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Now, if God speaks to you in this way, through the authoritative voice of the Spirit, let me tell you, this is different than the other ways. This is going to seem louder to you. This may even seem like God is talking to you audibly. Now, he's not. I'm 99% sure he's not. He doesn't do that usually. But it may sound like that because this is a much louder kind of admonition. It rarely, really happens, but it can happen today. So far, God speaks to us through our pastors, through his word, through the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, through the conscience, and through the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. So I'm guessing chances are all of you have had many opportunities to hear from God. But the question is still the same question. Are you listening? Are you in tune with God? Because there is deadly interference. Let me read a text from John 10, 3, and 4. It says this. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them all out, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, in sheep herding, I believe it's still the same today. They will have huge sheep pens. And let's say you have 200 sheep you're responsible for. This sheep pen may hold 2,000 sheep. And you send your 200 sheep into a sheep pen at night to keep them safe from predators. But also five other shepherds sent their 200 sheep into the sheep pen. So now you got 1,000 sheep in this sheep pen. And they say that when a shepherd stands at the door of the sheep pen and calls his sheep, only his 200 will come out. No other sheep. It's kind of amazing because sheep are pretty dumb animals. But they recognize their shepherd's voice. And that's how they do it. They don't worry about someone else getting their sheep. Only their sheep will come out of the pen. So let's suppose a shepherd goes and he calls out his sheep. He has 200 sheep and 198 come out. Now, by the way, the shepherd doesn't count them when they come out because he knows all of his sheep hear his voice. There's no need to count them. So he wouldn't know at that point that he was too short. Let's say two were in some other part and they didn't hear. They were distracted. They weren't paying attention, et cetera, et cetera. And that flock goes 100 yards away to a brook, you know, maybe over a little hill. And all of a sudden, those two sheep realize that everyone's gone, all of their friends are gone, and they have no idea what happened. They're only 100 yards away, but to sheep, that may as well be 100 miles away, because sheep are, like I said, they're very stupid animals, and they need the shepherd to do everything for them, and they are completely lost until the shepherd will come back for them. So what, in essence, happened to those sheep? Well, they didn't listen to the shepherd when he said, follow me to the water. They were distracted. Some of the reason you don't hear from God is that you are distracted. That's some of the reason. Now, how can you be distracted? What can distract you? Let me tell you, the number one thing is sin. Sin in your life can distract you from hearing from God. Maybe there's something you won't let go of, something you're holding on to, you know it. And if there is that kind of besetting sin in your life, let me tell you this, you're not hearing from God. You're just not. It doesn't work that way. That's not how God operates. And that's a bad thing. When it comes to holiness, this topic that we are talking about, I'm going to propose to you that you can't be holy if you don't hear from God. You can't be. Because you won't know when to go right and when to go left, when to say yes and when to say no. You won't know. You'll be going by your own wisdom and your own experience. And sometimes that's not good enough. You have to hear from God if you are going to live a holy life. So maybe you're not preoccupied with sin. Maybe it's not sin. Maybe you have a totally different agenda. Maybe it's a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or maybe it's some kind of entertainment. Maybe it's a quest for popularity. Maybe you're so worried about trying to be someone, you don't even realize God is trying to speak to you. You're sitting in that room with seven guys. The whole time a message is talking to you, you don't even realize it because something else is on your mind. Something else. You're not tuned into God. Have you ever turned on the radio? Now, this probably relates to maybe 15 years ago, before Sirius radio, before satellite radio. I think almost all of us, maybe if you don't be embarrassed, but I think almost all of us have satellite radio in our cars now, Sirius radio in our cars now. And so you never lose a signal. Well, you shouldn't ever lose a signal. But in the old days, if you had a regular radio and you were listening to a great song or you were listening to a ball game, I hated it when I was listening to a ball game and this happened, and you're driving somewhere and all of a sudden you start to hear more and more static. And more static. And eventually some of the voice kicks in and you know what's happened. That's that kind of distraction means that kind of interference is you've moved far away from the source, too far away, and now you're getting nothing but interference. Well, that's one of the reasons that we can't hear from God, that we have moved too far away from the source. We have moved too far away from God. How do you draw near to God? Well, I'll give you a couple of clues. One is very simply this. You need to learn more about him and what he wants from you. And where do you go to do that? Well, you go to the book. The book. The Bible. Okay? Read it. And, by the way, friends, agree with it. Don't read it and say, I don't like that. That's not fair. I'm not going to do that. Go ahead. Good luck with that. Let me say this. If that's going to be your attitude going in, then don't read it. Yeah, your pastor's telling you don't read the Bible. Yeah, if you're going to go in and just tell God everything that's wrong with it and what you don't like, because you're still God of your life at that point. You're playing God. When you read it, you need to just say, yes, Lord, yes. Remember that song? To your will and to your ways. That's what you need to say. That's it. You don't argue with God or say no or I don't like it. I don't care if you don't like it. There are things that I don't like that God asks of me. But so what? He is God. And I am not. So those things I come across, I say, yes, Lord, yes. I don't complain about it. I just try to follow it. Two, you should practice listening. Practice listening. You know, prayer is supposed to be a two-way street. It's not you sitting down and giving God all your needs and wants and desires and maybe giving him some praise or some worship. Okay, that's all good. But then you need to listen to God. Listen to the response. Quietly before God, thinking about God, meditating on God, asking him, God, is there anything that you need to tell me? It's a two-way communication prayer. It is not a monologue like this. It is a dialogue. Way too many Christians consider it a monologue where they go to God and they talk to God. And they tell God their thing. That's all good. But that's only half of it. The other half is listening. Psalm 46:10 says, when we pray, we have to go to have a time of reflection. Will we be still and know that he is God? Let me tell you this. The closer you get to the shepherd, the louder his voice will be. You'll be able to distinguish God's voice amidst all the chaos in your life, all the problems, if you are paying attention to God. God is not hard to hear. Nope, just like that Indian. Not hard to hear if you tuned into him, if you're paying attention to him. He will speak to you every day through a variety of ways. And then we just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you love me. Thank you, God, that you're wiser than me. Thank you, God, for your direction. Holiness requires that we hear from God. I chose this subject because our first week on holiness, and if you can't hear from God, the rest of these messages we're going to talk about don't really mean anything. You need to be able to hear from God if you are going to live a holy life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you challenge us. You challenge us to be holy because you are holy, to be perfect because you are perfect. And we know, God, these things are only possible through your Holy Spirit directing us and leading us and guiding us. We thank you, God, for your voice, that it can be heard amidst the chaos. It can be clear and concise. And I pray, God, for every one of us here, that we will do our very best to tune into you, meaning that you will be our number one priority. And being that number one priority, you are not hard to find. You are not hard to listen to. You are right there. So thank you, God, for this message. Thank you, God, for your work in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.